SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com, it is a Monday that will give rise to opening day at Del Mar, 48 hours away. Saratoga, 96 hours away. They will draw the spa opener. Tomorrow, the activity at Belmont Park, it didn't start after the last race yesterday. It started actually right after the Stars and Stripes card, really. That's when all the operations begin to consolidate and organize and get ready to box things up and make the move to Saratoga, and everybody en route now. It actually is quite a spectacle. I've talked about it before over the years, especially when we'd be setting up the barbecue and the big trucks would roll in, and it's really something to see as the operation moves over and upstate. And the racetrack comes to life. And, of course, it's really, having been in Saratoga repeatedly the last, really, every day this week, since Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you can really feel it. It's throughout the town, and the town is buzzing. Unbelievable. I had lunch with Andy Serling on Friday, and it felt like a race day, race weekend, morning. Just things were, again, yesterday we did the first of the season on television, Capital OTB, Seth Merrow and I. In fact, Andy guested with us. And by the way, if you want to enjoy, Seth and I were just ridiculous the first 15 minutes, just kind of getting into the feel of the summer and kind of reminiscing about the origins of the show. We've been doing it since 2007, and with one year on the shelf. But when Andy came along, we spent 40 plus minutes. Actually, we went way long. We went, I think, to like 11:15, almost 11:20, and really had a fruitful conversation. Andy, you never ask Andy the one loaded question before Saratoga is, how do you prepare for Saratoga? He hates that. He says, you don't do anything. You look at the races as they're drawn and you handicap. There's a couple of little nuances about, one turn races at Belmont versus two turn races, of course, that kind of thing. But Andy's a believer in just handicapping what's in front of you. So instead, we talked some generic themes, and it ended up really being a fun 40 minutes plus. It's on YouTube. I put the link up yesterday, and I want to thank everybody who voted for their favorite way in which I torture poor Seth Merrow. I can't help myself. Because I'm here, I'm a straight man. 5 days a week, I tee it up for everybody, and it's my only chance when I'm on TV with Seth. It's my only chance to be ridiculous, and I try to make Seth laugh. That's the most fun thing there is when he starts to chuckle. So Saratoga, days away, and Del Mar gets the sole focus. On Wednesday, we'll do some meet previewing, certainly tomorrow. Jay Privman is going to join us. It's just about time for Jay to unveil his 2-year-olds to follow. And that a clip and save column, when Jay beats the bushes and goes around and gathers up the information on the juveniles, and he'll list them and what their targets are and when their anticipated debut may be. There's certainly been some nice 2-year-olds already out on the West Coast, and with LoSalle wrapping up, as we finished at Belmont, they were doing the same thing at LoSalle, and what a nice little 3-week spate this was. LoSalle, and I saw that business was up, and always happy for the team there that really serves a great role in giving everybody, you know, a break. And you know, one of the things that it does with no grass course, it gives everybody an opportunity to rest up the turf runners. And that was reflected positively in the first 2 days of Del Mar's draws. And the first 2 days available for you, and that includes, of course, the ocean side that kicks things off. And there were 32 nominees, and so there was maybe a chance that it would split. Instead, you get a full field, an overflow field, in fact, and just one running of the ocean side. And some familiar names, some of the dirt horses that are trying to transition over. A horse like Pepe Tono, for instance, for Victor Garcia, who really is, you know, has got talent. And at some point, you would think it's going to translate into, you know, he's certainly kept good company trying the Lewis and the Santa Anita Derby, a little too deep at that point in the year for him, but went over to the grass in June and ran pretty good. And, of course, Faversham, the full brother of California Chrome. And he made the transition, made the roll back to grass in the maiden breaker, had tried it in April, and then converted. So he's going to show up in the ocean side. Desert Stone, in fact, if I'm mentioning Pepe Tono, got to mention Desert Stone as well, who beat Pepe Tono in a good allowance race in June. He's been a turf horse, though, all along. A fast net rock for Richard Baltus, who looks to be coming in strong into the Del Mar season. Texas Wedge returns to Stakes Company and had run in the front runner as a 2-year-old, and then he made the transition late in his 2-year-old season. Just came back, ran down the hill at the beginning of June, and Texas Wedge could be clever stretching out to the mile in here. Flavian Pratt gets back aboard, who was involved with him at Del Mar himself in November at the end of the Bing Crosby meet. So the ocean side, nice full field, and we'll talk to Jay Pribman tomorrow and get Jay's home game preview. And, of course, an easy trip for Jay, as opposed to having to come up to Pasadena and to Arcadia. The rest of the card, very, you know, typical. Full fields and a great way to start the Del Mar meet. 10 race card. There's a 2-year-old filly group going 5/8. Looks like you got a little bit of everything in here, including the $1 million Medaglia d'Oro filly for Larry Best Brill. Jerry Hollendorfer training, and this filly has worked lights out. There's also that Bizwax that I had talked about with Doug O'Neill. Came up the last time, or maybe the time before, that Doug was with us. But Brill looks very much to be the talking horse. Although Peter Miller, Angel Alessandra, a Ghost Sapper filly, bred by Len Riggio, $100,000 at OBS in April. And she's been working sharp at San Luis Rey and been working steadily, regularly. It's got works all the way back to May out of the sale. This will be an interesting group. Simon Callahan has a second-time starter for Qatar Racing. Doug O'Neill in here with a horse, undoubtedly, this one came from the March sale. Gulfstream, and was $100,000. This is a Blame Philly. Splashy Kisses. So looking forward to doing some pedigree work. Looking forward to Andy Harrington, National Turf. Your best friend for these kinds of races. Not just for these races, really, but for everything as you get ready for the action at Del Mar. Old Del Mar. And Casey has already dusted off. Has already dusted off the Bing jingle. We'll get our share of where the turf meets the surf. Undoubtedly. Looking forward to it. And we'll check in with Hammer on Wednesday, opening day. And it'll be a celebration there before we start to celebrate the Saratoga season. The two summer boutique meets that run parallel. Let's get into a little bit of the weekend before we get too immersed in the week's action. We got plenty of time for that. Well, the most notable, and certainly the performance that I think everybody was looking forward to or anticipating, but you still had to put him in the gate and let him fly. And a lot of people elated with the daughter of Medaglia d'Oro for Mrs. Dill Schneider and the Claiborne team and Bill Mott and Jose Ortiz. Elate, ultimately, when the gates opened, down to 3-5. And then she absolutely ran like it, the mile and a quarter, the layoff. Speaking of Del Mar, she was just super impressive. Dispatched this solid field in the Del Cap. How about the race that Sneaky Betty ran at 85-1 to be second? You know, sometimes in a race like this, you either stand against the 3-5, or you know, maybe you accept the 3-5 and just put your faith in Bill Mott, and you know, knowing that she was going to be ready to run no matter what the layoff was. But not so easy to put the longest or second longest shot on the board behind her, you know, trying to build the ticket. And that Mindshaft filly, she stayed on. Teresa Z looked like she was going to get into a mode to challenge off the turn, was getting exactly the trip that you would have wanted. You know, I tried to play with her a little bit as a value. She went off at 5-1, and she just, not only could she not get to a late, who was accelerating at that point, but she couldn't get by Sneaky Betty. Had to settle for third. And Ron Paolucci came at this, of course, with the three fillies. Proper discretion did her job trying to set a pace. It was actually Furiously Kissed at 77-1 that was running best at the end. Nikki My Darling kind of chased for a while and then never was able to, you know, really reach contention. But Furiously Kissed came and got a share. And was about a length and change behind Teresa Z. Unbridled Mo was disappointing in here. I mean, she kind of chased meekly and never, you know, never loomed. I mean, at no point did she look like she was going to be a contender. And the same was true, really, of Mopatism. Had no idea. I wrote in the write-up, I didn't know what to do about Mopatism. And I don't know what Doug O'Neill's going to do because... now it's a sequence of races since the La Cunada win and the second behind Unique Bella in the Santa Maria. Well, since then, she's been beaten 9-7-4 and now 8-9 lengths again. So Mopatism, a little mopey, but elate. And she'll look, of course, to the end of Saratoga, to the personal ensign, This is an authentic, you know, you don't, how many of these do you get, actually? Think about it. You know, we're looking forward to the Alabama, but she now has won twice at a mile and a quarter. It's pretty cool. 95 buyer for a late, perfect way to come back. And we'll see about the older fillies and the mares toward the personal ensign. The rest of that action, before we get to Indiana, we're going to talk. I won't spend too much time on the other graded stake because we're going to be joined by Pat McBurney in the next 40 minutes or so, either 9:30 or 9:45. Golden Brown. And I'm assuming that somebody in the ownership group, that somebody is a Stranglers fan. We are around here. Of course you're going to hear Golden Brown when the time comes. This is an awfully wild colt that was a Jersey bred, Esther DeJong, and was a $22,000 October sale purchase back in 16. And Patrick McBurney, who had a hell of a day. He had two wins, takes this Jersey bred, and wins the Kent. And they were kind of taking a shot in here, admittedly, and McBurney will talk about it. And I want him also to tell us more about Jairo Rendon. It's a big win for him. And by the way, speaking of big wins, I don't check it all the time. But as it happens, on Saturday, I looked at, because of, you know, Marcus Hirsch was with us, and I couldn't remember. I've forgotten what Marcus, one of the stakes that we talked about in Indiana. And I looked at Game Plan, you know, which is a tool, like a product at DRF that has got best bets by the handicappers and then a compendium of a lot of the closer looks for the big races and some stakes plays, some pick four plays, that kind of thing. And Marcus said, I think either Marcus or Mary Rampolini, or both, they put the Game Plan product together. Marcus tabbed Golden Brown, and he had a great rationale. He brought up Mrs. De Tomaso's Irish Straight, Irish Warcry's brother, the very solid, older Jersey bred that had won the Dan Horn. And that was Golden Brown's first try at two turns and first try on the grass, and he got beat a half length. And Marcus said, at 15-1, Golden Brown ran a horse that is as good as anybody in this race or better, Irish Straight. So some, you know, Marcus doing some company line comparison, and he made Golden Brown a prime play at 15-1. 33.20 was your reward. Awfully nice. Tremendous. I put that on Twitter with Marcus's written analysis, because it's always fun to, you know, see why somebody went at it, you know, what their angle was. So we'll talk to Pat McBurney, and I'll give you the rest of the Delaware results as well. Tim Kreiser with a nice win, and the Hokesson. Ned Allard, that nice, always sunshine, now 6 years old. Back after this, we'll talk about Indiana.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Going on, Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest, we know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
This is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Ooh, nah, nah, yeah. You know me like you know me, nah, nah, yeah. I am not your homie, not your home. Ooh, nah, nah, yeah.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
What you gonna do?
Yeah, time is money, so don't fuck my mind. Seeing out with my girls, I'ma have a good time. Step back with your chit-chat, killing my vibe.
We're back at the races.
Please hold your tongue, don't say a damn thing.
And as we were leaving there, I hinted at the win by Always Sunshine and the veteran who now, with that win, he's just shy of $500,000, but his seventh win in 22 starts. And we've talked to Ned Allard over the years about the West Acre six-year-old. It's a nice win, and he had not seen the winner's circle since May of last year at Monmouth, but he is a consistent hard hitter turned in one of his best performance in recent memory. In fact, you got to go back, at least figure-wise, you got to go back to summer of 16, actually the True North, 99 buyer in that effort when well behind Joking and Dad's Caps and Holy Boss and Company. But, you know, he did win the Maryland Sprint Handicap and competed in the True North again this year. And he wins this one. This gets him points, and I'm going to wonder if, because of the Maryland Sprint, which he did not try this year, because that was part of the match series, and now, yeah, this is only his third off the layoff. His last start had been in last year was in the Hokesson, and he would have to run in the Polynesian in August and then the Francis. He got to run in three of them. So he hadn't run in the first two legs for the three and up sprint division of the match series, but jumped in here at the quarter pole. And wins, and always happy for Ned Allard. And I mentioned Tim Kreiser for Tom McClay, Pennsylvania bred Prince of Hemp, wins the Carl Hanford. And Prince of Hemp actually paid $11.20. There's a lightly raced four-year-old by Majestic Warrior. Second off the layoff. Closed out his three-year-old year winning the City of Laurel. And he was strong in here. So that was the stakes scheme. We'll talk more about Delaware and the action down there with Pat McBurney in a little bit. Turn our attention to Indiana and Michael McCarthy. This is Monday. This is always a day, you know, where the horsemen are making the moves and packing up the barn and cleaning everything out. And, you know, in some cases, when it comes to Belmont, you know, a lot of barns will have a good number of their head that will stay at Belmont and train there, and they'll rotate back and forth, and you know, depending on how many stalls you have at Saratoga. So, you know, splitting the babies. Some people will keep two-year-olds down at Belmont when things quiet down, and gives them a chance to get ready for their careers. But I bring that up because the big winner on Saturday night at Indiana, 2680 on Axelrod, and comes running and nails. Boy, Mike Roan has done everything you could possibly do with Trigger Warning, and he's been nipped in the Ohio Derby and now in the Indiana Derby. This one, even more agonizing. When it came to the Ohio Derby, you know, back, what, 3-4 weeks ago, you know, he got passed late. And he ended up third, actually, and beaten a length. Here, he just gets nailed on the wire, and there was absolutely nothing that – I don't think there was anything else that Irwin Rosando could have done. Maybe, I don't know, he's got blinkers on. Maybe at this point, you know, I don't know, maybe does he need to – depend? I didn't notice how severe the cup is. Maybe you cut back on the cup a little. Trigger Warning ran just a courageous race. Give me a minute and blame the rider. They were chasing Trigger Warning. They ended up last and second to last. There's no greater testimony to a horse running well and hard and courageously than seeing that in a chart. Anybody that was near the pace, only Dark Vader, who finished fifth, he was the only one, and he was beaten five lengths. He was the only other one that even was close to the pace that stayed on for anything. Trigger Warning with just a valiant effort in defeat, and Axelrod continues what is being very quickly evident of a special year now for Michael McCarthy. City of Gold and all the others that have been running well, and now another graded stake win, in this case, this one good for the $500,000 Indiana Derby, the Grade 3, Axelrod, Slam Dunk Racing, very familiar blue and orange with the basketball, Slam Dunk, big win for them, for that team, and this was a very clever maneuver because they could have stayed home in California and competed in the Los Al Derby. And, of course, Baffert wins with the proverbial other horse. We'll get to that. Once on Whiskey. Axeman disappointing yet again. And this move to run in Indiana pays off handsomely. Worth $290,000 and graded stake type. A Warrior's Reward that was an OBS winter purchase for $25,000. out of an elusive quality mare, Hidden Point Farm bred, and has just made steady, steady progress. Career debut on the grass at Del Mar last summer. Came back and won on the dirt. Breaks the maiden wire to wire. Tried the Oak Tree Juvenile. And then marched through, coming back in April. Went down the hill a couple of times, was competitive. And then that good second behind Draft Pick in the Affirmed, and now a graded stake winner. So tomorrow, Michael McCarthy will join us. And we'll also, with Mike, we'll also get his Del Mar preview and find out what else is going on and what's the latest on the host of horses we've talked to him about on a regular basis. I mentioned that Rudolph Brissett is going to join us. We'll talk to Brissett about Talk Viv to Me and his summer plans, because Brissett, like McCarthy, really the last couple of weeks, we've had nice conversations with the up-and-comers around the game. Jonathan Thomas, Ben Colebrook, Brissett today and McCarthy tomorrow, and it's very heartening to, you know, to see, you know, trainers hang shingles and build their business and their reputations. Talk Viv to Me, okay, she was, let's be honest, she was one to nine in there, but still, now we got to make we got to find out what is going to happen next and where Brissett goes in terms of facing off against the other top three-year-olds. And again, another emergent three-year-old filly. I mean, she had already shown herself to be of great quality. Yeah, has never been worse than second. And, of course, behind Monomoy Girl in the Acorn and Mia Mischief in the Eight Bells. So now she's a graded stake winner as well, stretching out and did it, I mean, just stylishly. It really looked a lot like Red Ruby's performance in the Delaware Oaks. Had a lot of that same look to it. So we'll talk to Rudy next. And, of course, for all of the American-based French connections, big hearty congratulations to all of them that watched Les Bleus yesterday win the World Cup, France, with their second World Cup victory. The other stakes on that fun card Saturday night was it was Tina's birthday, and we had a really fun evening, so I didn't get a chance to watch. And thanks to everybody for all the nice wishes that you sent Tina's way. So I watched everything subsequently on vid, and Brad Cox is he's just out of control. Wins the Mary Hillman George for the Kleins with Pinch Hit. Wins the Schaefer with Pioneer Spirit for Steve Landers. And then Dot Matrix, a first-time stake win for the homebred Freud Gelding New York bred for Marshall Graham and 10 Strike. And when you see that Truxton Stables, that's another nom de course for Marshall Graham and 10 Strike. And I think I saw that Marshall said it was their first. I'm going to try to reach Marshall. We'll get him on this week. And they've had a great few weeks, including the Grade 1 win up at Woodbine. That was obviously a tremendous thrill for that team when Long on Value won the Highlander. But Dot Matrix, patiently ridden by Florent Giroux. And, of course, Julien Leparoux was on Talk Viv to Me. So it was a big weekend for anything, you know, anything with a French accent, basically. And then the other stake win, in addition to Dot Matrix, that came from Michelle Boyce and the venerable 7-year-old mare lovely Loiry, and she won. I think she won this last year too. I think, if I'm not mistaken, right? I think, yeah, pretty sure she won the General Assembly distaff last year as well. And we should reach out. Michelle Boyce does a very good job. Lovely Loiry, now 8 wins and 23 career starts. The Illinois bred Feel the Thunder stable and Oak Rock Racing. And she's been just a consistent, hard-hitting mare now for an extended period. And, yeah, she did. She won this last year, too. Absolutely. Over Cash Control. Speaking of Brad Cox. So, lovely Loiry. So there was your Indiana and your Delaware action. We got more to talk about, obviously. But let's get a couple of trainer visits in before Johnny D and so much more. Del Mar and Saratoga opening week. Break here. Come right back. Patrick McBurney and Rudolph Brissett in this next half hour. Johnny's going to join us. We'll get you all excited about performance opportunities in the Saratoga and Del Mar contests, right? Everybody loves them. Everybody's favorites. So make sure you're involved. This will be fun. This is the fun in the sun. Every Saturday. Back after this, I'm not sure. Rudy Brissett or Pat McBurney, one or the other. At the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
This breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't understand the people of the day. See each other down, or lift a hand in way. This has been going on for years and years.
We're back at the races. About 20 minutes to the top of the hour. You know, did I mention, I talked about Marcus's terrific play with Golden Brown. I should mention Marty McGee gave out Axelrod. Tremendous. Marty, as I said on Twitter, number one in your heart. Marty's not he's like a bloodhound. You can't throw a pork chop past him. Rudolph Brissett is going to join us, and he's getting his team ready for the Saratoga season, and certainly the filly that has got everybody kind of wondering where she's going to face off against the likes of Monomoy Girl, maybe, and so forth. The plenty of opportunity between now and the Cotillion. We'll see. But the first thing to do is celebrate a very nice Indiana Oaks victory. Julian Leperoux sitting comfortably with Talk Viv to me, and when he lowered his hands and shifted his weight, the filly just cruised past. At that point, I think the long shot had faded away, but Talk Viv to me, just dominating the Indiana Oaks, and joined by Rudy Brissett. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Rudy, what was more exciting, this win or France yesterday winning the World Cup?
Well, I'm not a big soccer guy, so I would say that win was way more exciting.
And there you go. All right. That's... I can't believe you're not. Who's not a soccer guy? When you know, that's one thing. When you come to this country, you can hold it over everybody's head and say, "What is wrong with America? Why don't you like soccer?"
Well, I'm not. I actually enjoy American football, but soccer. You never really interest me. I guess.
That's pretty cool. All right, good. You've won a whole bunch of fans saying that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, the Philly, speaking of winning fans, it's been an amazing early summer, because all of these Phillies that are emerging, and it seems like every week we're getting a big performance. Red Ruby at Delaware. You had She's a Julie. Her terrific performance in Iowa, and now Talk Viv to me stretches out absolutely like a pro. Talk about preparations for this.
Well, she's very natural, so we didn't have to do much prep about going to town. You know, like I've been saying before the race, we were very anxious to run out to town because of pedigree and the way she trained. The way she's been training for months, you know, it's a big weapon when you have that kind of tactical speed and you are able to carry it to turn. So we were very happy the way the race set up, and we were happy to see her win that race there like that.
When you came out of the Acorn, and you know, she ran a courageous race there, and ultimately only second to Monomoy Girl. But when you get a horse preparing for the two turns, and of course in the mornings, there's some things you can do, you know, even when they run or work a half mile, there's ways that you can engineer a work to get them around the two turns. What do you do yourself, Rudy, to get a horse to understand they're going to have to maybe go slower early and faster late?
Well, she, I've been saying she's a very smart horse, and you know, I mean, they don't know where is the water. I mean, sometimes they do, but I guess, I don't know, a strong gallop out could really help to see if they want to carry going to turn. But at the end of the day, until you don't try, you gotta find out in the afternoon. You can always guess on breathing and on the way they act. You can always guess they want to go to turn, but until you don't try, you don't really know.
Well, in this case, you could see early on the where she was sitting, and just as easy as she was going, and really, what did Julian say about her almost just dragging him to the lead? He wasn't asking her on the backstretch.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I mean, the setup of the race ended up being exactly the way we were, we thought it was going to be. They may have gone a little quicker, and I was more shooting for a 47 and change. But, you know, they were, the horse on the lead were doing it, that 46 and 1 pretty easy, and she was sitting off of her, Verve was sitting off of her, as easy too. So, I think when if you look at the replay when they enter in the first turn, Julian can reach a little bit the rein and can tell her to stay where she was, and like I say, she's smart, so she just respond to his command and stay right there and waiting on Julian to ask her to run later on, you know.
Well, you know, one thing when it comes to Julian Leperoux, it's interesting that, you know, so many of us think of him as a guy that is particularly good coming with a horse from off the pace, but he is terrific and really underappreciated as somebody on or near the lead. And it's funny, all three of the riders that you've used with her, Leperoux, Jose Ortiz, and Sean Bridgemahan, those are all riders that are particularly clever and quiet on a horse like this that wants to, you know, be part of the pace. And all, I think of all three of them as very effective on that kind of a horse.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's pretty easy to ride in general, but of course you don't want to, you know, you don't want to take away what she's been showing us so far. So, you know, I really think we kind of know Julian was going to fill her, and he executes the job perfectly. You know?
Well, now you get to look forward to, you know, some of the big opportunities into the summer and into the early fall. Team Valor, I'm sure you've had conversation already with Barry Irwin. You're, of course, part of the ownership team yourself, you know, you and Steve McKay, who found the filly. What do you think, Rudy? What kind of a distance and how, you know, how heavy a head do you want to face off against?
Well, we actually didn't really talk about it yet. I like to see how, you know, she's got a ship to New York today. We got a leather saddle in her new stall, and then see how she trained, and we got to look. I think we got to take a good look at the CCA coming next Sunday and see who does what, and just take weeks by weeks. You know, it just if we want to find out where we belong going to turn, we gotta have to face the top three. That's for sure. Now not sure which race. You know, I mean, we kind of know what kind of race is coming. So between the Alabama and the Cotillon, you know, we can. I don't know. I think we should just take weeks by weeks and see who is doing what, and then make a choice. But more than likely, we will have to face one of the top three for sure.
The Alabama, of course, has the mile and a quarter element, and doesn't, certainly looking at the way she ran, it actually, a mile and a quarter, they're going to go fairly, you know, fairly a little bit at least slower than they do, you know, this kind of a trip. I didn't see anything on Saturday night that said the mile and a quarter would be an issue.
well, you know, like I say, we until you try, you.
Yep, we made case. Did we lose Rudy? No, Rudy. Yeah, I think we'd lost him. Yeah, are you still there?
Can you hear me?
There we go. You went into a black hole. Good job.
Sorry.
No, you.
Sorry.
Not at all. You were saying that if you don't try, you don't know.
Exactly, and then you know it's going to be a new ball game for everyone. Nobody went to Manacuaro yet, so I guess it could be a strong option to go in there.
Well, it's a good problem to have, to be looking at races like the Grade 1 Alabama and the Grade 1 Cotillion in Philadelphia. Certainly, Rudy, for you, it's fun to have picked out a horse like this and to get that, you know, to get this kind of success. Take us back to when you and Stephen picked the filly out.
Well, actually, Sean Tugger from Winstar, he's the one can appoint the filly at me on his short list, and then me and my wife, or my wife and I, she's gonna like this better. You know, we went to see her, and we kind of really fell for her right off the bat. So I guess we got her after Chia Rene, and then we got her after privately, and then I called Steven and offered to buy a part of it, and he was game. So it's been fun.
Really nice. And then Team Valor drew the attention of Barry Irwin, and the rest is history. For you, second graded stake winner, along with Quip, who we'll talk about in a minute, but talk Viv to me, pretty exciting going forward toward a big assignment. And as you mentioned, you're on your way to Saratoga. You've got the Midwest string as well. You're running at Ellis, and you had this weekend, of course, in Indiana. Talk about, you know, being in this position to bring horses to Saratoga and then the main string, you know, back Kentucky.
Well, we have some new of now. You know, we picked up some business the last 6 months, and a lot of good of now and big of now. And then I think it's the next logical step for our young barn to try the sneak in a New York circuit. And you know, we're only taking 8 there right now, and It's a good number to start with. We gotta be at the sale, try to meet people, try to build more business, and then we actually maybe thinking about being in New York next year from April to November. So and keeping, you know, in the same time keeping our string in Kinlan. That would be something we could be looking for if we build enough business. So I think we are exciting, and it's a tough place to win a race, but we got to try.
Well, and you've already proven these 2 years that out working on your own, obviously the having the trust of operations like a Team Valor, Windstar with Quip, and you've absolutely rewarded those that have come your way with success. Tell us about the winner from the other day at Ellis, that Nicodemus.
Well, it's a horse we really liked, you know, he went through the sale after he won. Winstar did sell him, so we don't have the horse anymore. But he's a nice 3 years old, and hopefully he will keep on going and having a good career. We were pretty high on him, so it's sad in the same time we lose him, but it's the way the business is, and you lose one and you hope to get three more.
Well, just off of that win the other day, he ran last week. He ran last Saturday. And he got purchased. They sold him out of that performance.
Yeah, they sold him at the Fazek Pittman sale. So
okay, I missed that. Completely missed it.
Sold, he got sold privately. Winstar runs their business. Where they want to make stallion, and then that horse was late and he's 3 years old, and plenty people were after him, and I think it's the way the business is playing, and you gotta take it the best you can, but hopefully that horse will want to stake down the line. We really like him.
Nice. Well, we'll have to find out. They did sell privately because he had RNA. So we'll see where he resurfaces. I'm glad I asked. I'm glad it came up. Well, in terms of a two-year-old or two, what do you got at Saratoga that we're going to see?
Well, we got actually only taking three two-year-old. I had a Candy Wright filly. We liked, and then Flatter, 2 years old, she went through the sale in Saratoga last year, showing us some good work. So we're not sure 100%. We gotta run all of those 2 years old, but. We see how they train and go from there.
Yeah, very good. Well, I mentioned Quip. What can you tell us an update on Quip's progress?
Well, Quip, we were pointing Quip for the Indiana Derby a couple of weeks ago, and after his first walk back after the Preakness, we didn't really like the way he walked. He was only a 3.8, and so we went. We sent him out and did some exam on him, and he come up with some mild bone bruising. So we give him 60 days. It was time to give him some rest. So got 60 days. He's in Windstar, and then we hope for him to come back pretty strong in the fall or for the winter.
Excellent. Well, Rudy, clearly things are. Are going great. Second graded stake win for you, and string of eight at Saratoga, including Talk Viv to me. You've got a filly that's going to try break the maiden coming up Saturday at Ellis. Don't Tell Lydia. You've had her for a start a few weeks ago. You dipped her into maiden 40 company. That seemed to wake her up a little. Has she moved forward out of that?
Well, she trained forward. Out of that, so it was our first race for us. Watching on some of our old races and replay, we saw the one turn will feel her pretty good, and the mile may have ended up being a little too long the other day, so we cut the distance to six. We got a good draw, so hopefully we're asking a little bit more than from a maiden 40 to a maiden special weight, but if she shows some kind of the same speed and can carry that, we are hoping for a good run.
Well, I appreciate all the info, and Rudy, delighted for you. Safe travels, and we'll be looking forward to the Brissette Barn at Saratoga. Where did they give you the stalls? What side?
Well, I work for Mr. Mott for 11 years, so I think they figure they should put me pretty close. So we are on Oklahoma Oklahoma side next to the bus. So it's
nice.
it's gonna be, you know, it's been 4 years for me. It's my first time in 4 years. We go back to Saratoga and going on my own, and having the bus next to us, it's kind of, it should be a fun summer.
Absolutely, and we'll look for you there back by the Bill's Barn. I love it. Rudy Brissett, everybody. And Rudy, in terms of, should people be following you on, you're on Twitter, yes? You've got was it Brissett Rudolph, right?
Yeah, we're on Twitter, and on we have a business page on Facebook too. So, you know, anybody wants to follow or contact, you know, it's, we can find us there.
Absolutely. And look for Rudy at Saratoga this summer with what looks to be the latest rising star three-year-old filly. Rudy, thanks so much. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. I love it. Rudy Brissett. And again, as I mentioned, so exciting to see the progress and success of, you know, those that, you know, take a chance. You know, when you... an assistant could stay on and you know, make a nice living, but to take the chance and go out on your own and try to attract clients, become a success like this, it's really a story worth spotlighting. And we've had a few just the past couple of weeks between Brissett and I mentioned Ben Colebrook, and tomorrow Michael McCarthy. You know, it's, you know, really kind of nice. I'd love to see it. Jonathan Thomas. It's encouraging for those that, you know, that are trying to do the same thing. Let's take a timeout. A more veteran horseman going to join us. Pat McBurney and Johnny D, of course, ahead as well. Stay with us, and I got a revelation that just came across on Nicodemus, the private sale. Very interesting. We got a very close connection to where Nicodemus turned up. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is Express Bet Summer Treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with Express Bet. And while you're at it, don't miss Express Bet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.